The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white like the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, is it good that we are here? If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. And then the cloud came, and a voice said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
As Becky Isaacs has famously said, God is so crafty. Reason being is because the gospel we just heard was also the gospel read on my ordination day. And so what marked the beginning of my assignment here now marks the beginning of the end for my assignment here. So what the Lord is asking of each one of us is completely beyond our capability if we depend on ourselves more than on him. We cannot become what we are called to become, which is a courageous, wise, self-controlled, and just ambassador of Christ's truth, his joy, and his lasting peace by our own strength. It's simply too much for us to accomplish on our own. When God first called Abraham, he didn't say, "I want you to go and conquer the promised land and make yourself into a great nation that will be a blessing for the whole world." Instead, God called Abraham and said, "I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great. And I will bless those who bless you." God alone enables us to become what he has created us to be. God is the senior partner in our lives, and we're just the junior partners. God is the field marshal. We are the soldiers on the field. And God is the mastermind, and we are his assistants. This doesn't mean that as faithful Christians, we're supposed to just sit back and be passive. We have to choose to be faithful to our Lord. And that means effort, constant, even painful effort, constantly being attentive to the promptings and movements of the Lord within the soul, and cooperating with that grace, even when it's painful and extremely uncomfortable. But that effort will be useless unless it is first and primarily rooted in God. The Lord and his grace are like a river, and the areas of our lives where we struggle with sin are like plots of dry land that need water. Water which brings healing and new growth. Our job, our effort, is to cooperate with his grace, to identify those dry plots of land in our lives, and in a sense, dig irrigation channels from that river of life to those plots of land. And that's done by daily prayer, by frequenting the sacraments, especially confession and Holy Communion, and growth in virtue. In fact, those irrigation channels are formed as we practice the virtues. Sometimes that soil is made very dry, cracked, hard, and difficult to move by sin, as in the case with the soul that struggles with serious habitual sin. And as the soul begins to practice the particular virtue needed to combat those sins, it's as if that ground is being tilled by a small plastic shovel. Sure, some dirt is getting kicked around, and you may even see the faint beginnings of that channel, as well as the very slow trickle of water down its furrows. But as the virtue continues to be practiced, coupled with prayer and especially assisted with the sanctifying grace of the sacraments, that hard soil becomes softer, it becomes lighter, and easier to move. The shovel becomes larger, it becomes stronger, and yet easier to use and lighter to swing. And what was previously a faint line in the dry, cracked earth hardened by sin has become, through repeated practice of the virtue and the grace of the sacraments, a deep canyon through which the raging river of God's grace flows. This is why St. Paul tells Timothy to bear your hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. The meaning and happiness we long for, we can have if we depend more on the Lord than on ourselves. The gospel says that Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain. And in pagan antiquity and in the Bible, mountaintops were places where people went to encounter God, to have a life-changing experience of God. And by saying that Jesus led them up a high mountain, St. Matthew is pointing out that we cannot concoct experiences of God all by ourselves. This is what magic and all of its relatives tries to do. It tries to manipulate the supernatural as if the individual were more powerful than God and in control. This is also what New Age spirituality tries to do. It offers sophisticated and seductive, often, techniques of meditation or centering that supposedly will put the soul in touch with a higher purpose. But that's a false claim. The benefits people feel from those techniques are not supernatural. They are simply the result of basic self-discipline. When we start putting balance in our lives, we feel better. Those New Age techniques are kind of just, you know, fancy and often expensive ways of putting balance in our lives. And when these techniques claim to put the soul in touch with a higher purpose, it's actually a contradiction in terms. Because if there is a higher transcendent purpose, by definition, we can't reach it on our own. Saints Peter, James, and John couldn't have caused the transfiguration with crystals and incantations. Humanity needed someone to come down to us from the heights of heaven and connect us with that higher purpose. And the only one who has done that is the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Christ is the Savior. We are not our own Savior. Our task, our Christian duty, and our filial love of God requires that we follow where he leads and to listen to him. And that's why St. Paul writes, "He saved us not according to our works, but according to his own design." And this is a crucial lesson to learn if we want to become spiritually mature. We have to learn that we are not God, that we are the created, not the creator, and depend more on him than ourselves. Original sin was Adam and Eve's failure to learn this lesson. They took the forbidden fruit because the devil told them it would make them like gods. And they didn't want anything to be off limits. So they let their trust in their creator die in their heart. They disobeyed his command and unleashed evil, suffering, and death on the world. But God's response was sending us our Savior, Christ Jesus, as St. Paul writes, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality, who showed us the immensity of God's mercy in order to restore the trust that was lost. And so today, let us renew our resolve to listen to that Savior, to listen to our Savior, to depend more on the Lord than ourselves, and to place our trust in Him, as today's psalm put it. By receiving His forgiveness and strength in the sacrament of confession, by following the Ten Commandments, all of them, by understanding and obeying the teachings of the Church, even the inconvenient and difficult ones, and by paying attention to God's voice in our conscience, a conscience that must be informed by all of the above. All of which deepens our relationship with the Lord, because in doing so, motivated by love, we begin to form and exercise the virtue of humility, which says, "You are God, not me."